Hello and welcome to episode 131 of the Trev and Ben podcast.
Yes, hello. Is that a particularly significant number?
I don't know. When I was typing it in to label the audio file, yeah. By the way, I'm recording as a WAV file, if anyone is interested in the type of format. And when I was typing in, I was thinking, oh my God, 131.
Well, it's a hell of a lot of hours of, what would you call it?
Stuff.
Gibberish. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder how much time it would take to listen to all of 131 episodes at the end of this one, back to back. I mean, you're probably talking, I don't know how many days you'd be looking at there.
Oh, it'd be two or three days easy, I'd have thought.
Do you think the devil would take our audio and use it as some sort of hellish punishment if when people die and they're not allowed into the splendor of heaven and find themselves in the bowels of hell, and the devil says, welcome to hell, go into the first room for your first punishment. I don't know why he talks like that, but that's the devil's voice. Do you think the devil talks like that, or do you think he's a bit more classy? Do you think he's a bit sort of welcome to hell? Do you think he's a bit sort of posh?
He could be. I think he could be either, really.
Do you think he's got a charming undercurrent?
No. I do think, though, that hell should be, you know, for that version of hell, it should be reserved for really talented and successful yet evil podcasters. They should have to listen to us for all eternity.
I just thought it'd be like phase one of your punishment in hell, that you listen to us, like the whole thing for however many days it would take to get through every episode, and then you'd move on to the next phase, which would be a red hot poker up the backside. That'd be the next thing. It's like different levels of punishment. I wouldn't put us right at the top of the punishment food chain.
We're at the beginning of the punishment ladder.
Yeah. So to start with, you think, well, it's not too bad. I can live through this. And then by day three, you want that red hot poker. You're really waiting for that as some blessed relief. Anyway, how's your week been?
Yeah, not too bad. I've spent most of my week extremely confused by one of the latest news stories.
Confused?
I've been baffled by this. By the way, just check with you. Is it Neil Parish?
Neil Parish, the Conservative MP who has admitted now to looking at pornography in the House of Commons. Did you see that he was on television?
Yes.
Talking about it before admitting it was him, which I think is extraordinary, because he must have known at that time when he's being interviewed, and he's saying, well, I think that there will be a thorough investigation. He must have known, well, it's me. I suppose it's the best line of defence to go out and hide in plain sight.
Well, yes, I mean, he tried that, which almost makes it look a lot worse. But then he came out with a line that just ruined my week. I'll play this clip.
The situation was that funnily enough, it was tractors that I was looking at. And so I did get into another website that had a sort of very similar name. And I watched it for a bit, which I shouldn't have done. But my crime, my biggest crime, is that on another occasion, I went in a second time.
Now, what's ruined my week about this is he was trying to search for tractors.
Yes.
And he ended up on a porn site.
Yes.
Of a similar name.
Easily done.
Yeah. Now, this boggled my mind, because I've been sitting here all week thinking, what could he have possibly misspelled?
I've been doing the same.
Tractors as to end up on a porn site.
I've been doing the same. The only thing that I came up with was Cornhub.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I've been thinking, what does it rhyme with? I just came up with nothing.
Do you know what it is? Have you found out?
I have found out.
You have found out, because I haven't. I don't know what it is, and it's been bugging me as well.
Well, it's nice to hear that you made exactly the same mistake as I did. But the truth is, he didn't really explain himself there very well. The line is that he was looking for tractors, in particular, a big combined harvester known as a Dominator.
Oh.
So he's been Googling looking for a Dominator.
Right.
And he's wandered in. Now, why he didn't just think, oh, whoops, and hit the back button straight away.
Yeah. But also with Dominator, Dominatrix would probably, I'm going to put Dominator into Google. right?
And I'm I tried this science experiment myself.
Have you tried it?
The sad thing is now it's just flooded with stories about Neil Parish.
Right. So, but I don't think that there would be. I'm not sure that would be high up on the search. I mean, maybe he's gone. It's been, you know, a bit of a deep dive into the Dominator tractor. But to me, that sounds a bit of a lame excuse to me.
Well, it did to me at first, but then you heard at the end of that clip, he freely admits that he deliberately went back in for a second time.
Yeah.
For another good look. Now,
he suddenly found a little kink that he likes. He'd never thought he'd be into Dominators in that sense. But now he suddenly found a penchant for it.
But I actually think, doesn't that give his whole original story a lot more credibility? Because if he's standing down, which he kind of has to, and if he's admitting that, yes, I did go back in the second time on purpose, then why would you make up this strange lie about accidentally finding yourself there in the first place if you're happy to admit that you went back deliberately a second time?
That's what I mean. He discovered that he found he liked it. He found it by mistake. He thought, I'm looking at tractors. There's suddenly... I mean, it explains why he was so reluctant to admit it was him, because he wouldn't want to lose the whip.
That took me a second there. That penny dropped for a second there.
But maybe he thought, you know, I was looking for tractors, and suddenly I found this and I quite like it.
Well, yeah, I suppose I hadn't considered
that. But pick
that.
Your time, mate. Pick
well,
your
time.
Well,
that's the other thing. How easily distracted are you that you find yourself in the House of Commons or the Houses of Parliament, wherever he was, and suddenly can't take his eyes off his phone and he's surrounded by colleagues?
Yeah.
You think, what were you doing, man?
Subtlety can't be his strong point, can it, really?
No.
To be doing that in your workplace and in such a public arena where you know there's people... I mean, the only place I reckon you could do that in the House of Commons is if you're right on the back bench, so there's no one behind you.
In the corner.
Or in the speaker's chair. They're the only places where I reckon you could get away with looking at adult entertainment online in the House of Commons. So if you're in those seats, go for it. But if you're not on those seats, think again.
So there we go. That is the riddle that has ruined my week. But I'm glad I finally worked it out about 5 minutes before recording with you.
I'm glad you told me, because I didn't know. And I've been trying to work out what it could have been that he put in that would lead you to that Dominator. You see, I mean, I'm still not convinced by that argument, but he's admitted it, so fair play, I guess. But it's we're not going to spend too long on political things this week, because we did a long old rant last week. But what I would say is it has opened up the question of the sleaziness, once again, of the House of Commons.
Doesn't look good, does it?
It doesn't. But then I did think, yeah, just a few weeks ago, I was watching the news, and they were interviewing Boris Johnson. And I thought,
right.
I thought he probably gave a little bit too much away when he was being interviewed. Do you want to just hear what he said?
Yeah, go for it.
I have satisfied myself.
And then the BBC reporter asked the expert what he thought.
Where does this leave Boris Johnson politically, do you think, now?
In an extremely sticky place.
No. So,
I should clarify, he was not being... I've edited that out of context. A bit of a joke. But I think we should probably have known what's going on in the House of Commons, because there's all kinds of stories coming out now about sort of the sleaziness of... which we've always probably known, haven't we?
Yeah, it's just the speed at which they'll... you know, talk about, oh, there'll be an investigation. And as you say, talking to the cameras, knowing exactly it's all about them. And they're going to just lie until they have to resign.
Yeah. We've got the elections this week, the local elections. But I don't really want to vote for anyone, because I'm so disillusioned with them all. But I do feel that it's the right thing to go, and even if I spoil the paper. So I might just go and just draw a great big dildo on the voting paper. Now, Ben, we're only a few weeks away from the big Jubilee celebrations where we get an extra bank holiday. I'm a bit confused about the bank holiday.
Yeah, I didn't know we were getting another bonus bank holiday. That's good news.
I think it's the Thursday and the Friday we get off. But then I've had other people tell me it's the Friday and the Monday. But everywhere I've looked seems to suggest we get the Thursday and the Friday off that week.
Okay, I need to find out, because I don't want to turn up to work when I'm not supposed to be there.
You'd have thought the Royal Mail would know.
Yes, that is a good thing.
When you can have the day off or not. So it's the big celebrations. I'm thinking of possibly going up to London for it, but I don't really know what's happening this year for the Jubilee. I went up to London for the Golden Jubilee. I went up for the Diamond Jubilee. And I sort of feel if I can, I should go and see something of the historic nature of the Platinum Jubilee.
But aren't you just going to be in a sort of stressful, COVID-filled crowd? You'll get nowhere near anyone.
No.
I mean, the transport will be ridiculous. and it'll just be a big wasted journey. But at least you can say I was there. But I mean, I'll be if I dare to watch it, I'll be watching it a lot, you know, in HD on my TV and not sort of in a horrible crowd of people somewhere in London, nowhere near the Queen.
I have seen both times, though, when I went up for the Golden Jubilee. I was on the Mall and she came out and waved from the balcony. I mean, I was a long way away and I think I just saw a little pink blob on the balcony. that must be her. So I was waving. And then when I went up for the Diamond Jubilee, I saw the, you know, they did the big flotilla on the Thames. And she was on a special royal boat and she went by and I waved.
Right.
I say I waved. I don't know if I did.
What? Now, you don't seem to me normally to give much of a hoot about the royals, really?
No, it's the history I like, Ben. I like the idea that when I'm old... And I mean, I haven't got any children, so I may not have grandchildren, but I always had this great idea, you know, this romantic notion of the grandchildren sitting around me as an old man. I'm going, I was there on the Platinum Jubilee. I went up and I waved at the Queen. I'm going, tell us more, Grandad. Tell us more. Well, that's all there is to say. I was surrounded by people. I got COVID and I was very ill for several weeks. I mean, but there's a thing about being part of history. I often watch pictures of VE Day when the war in Europe came to an end. And you see the masses of crowds in London. And it would have been my absolute nightmare to be around all those people because I get very claustrophobic. I get very stressed. But the historic moment of being there and wanting to be part of that, particularly at the end of a 6-year war, I'm sure would have been compelling. I mean, the story goes that the Queen and Princess Margaret, who were young women then, went out to be part of the throng of people. So there must be like a thing about that. But I quite like the history of it.
Yeah, I suppose it's nice to say you were there. I mean, when you tell your grandchildren one day, they will say, oh, who's that? They won't have a clue who the Queen is.
No. But I mean, I remember my grandparents and elderly relatives telling me stories, not necessarily when they were at big things like that, but just places they were when things happened. And I quite like that thing about saying I was there, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I just think you're either going to get stuck in a tube strike, you're going to get COVID, or you're going to get swept up in a terrorist attack. So I think I wouldn't go anywhere near it myself.
I mean, you really can pull a dampener on anything, don't you? It's going to be a massive celebration. and you know, she's getting older and frail. I mean, we're not even sure. I was reading yesterday, I'm not even sure she's going to be on the balcony for a wave. Age is catching up with her, and could be the last chance we have to really celebrate her.
And you thought I was putting a dampener on things.
This is what you've done. You've put a black cloud over this podcast now, Ben.
Is there nothing they can do to perk her up a bit just to get her for the famous balcony wave?
Well, I'm sure they will. I'm sure that she will make it onto the balcony. I think the thing is she doesn't want to be seen to be frail. I think that's the thing, is it? Because she had a walking stick more recently. And I think she's sort of embracing that, but there's talk about, you know, she won't be seen in a like a buggy or a wheelchair. She's not having that.
Maybe they could sort of form some sort of winch and just sort of have her on wheels but under a dress, so you can't really see that she's being heavily supported and she can still appear upright.
Put her on a zip wire down the Mall. That was, you know, when Boris did that zip wire thing.
Yes,
do something similar, because then she wouldn't have to, you know, she wouldn't have to put too much effort in. Gravity would do the work. And she could wave to everyone. Everyone would get a much closer look, actually, if she was on a zip wire coming down the Mall. I mean, I'm sure so the royal household would have something to say about the health and safety implications of that idea. But I do think there's merit in it.
Well, she also must be she's very petite and very light. Mm. I'd be scared that a stiff breeze would start blowing her back up the zip line. We'd have a disaster on our hands.
Well, no, but there's a great thing about the Queen in the, I don't know how true this is, but the myth is that she has coins sewn into the hem of her skirts and dresses so they don't blow up in the wind. So you could weigh her down a bit. You know, put a few £2 coins in.
Yes.
But just add to the weight a little bit, make sure that she's not taken off by a sharp breeze.
Well, yes, maybe don't go too mad, though, because if she's going to be standing for any length of time, then you're not going to do her spine any favours by weighing her down too much.
I mean, could she wing walk? Yeah, could we put her on like a biplane? Because then at least she'd be tied down. And she could wing walk, and the little biplane could do a fly pass over the mall, and then do perhaps a loop the loop, so we can actually see her from below. And as she's going over, she can do a little wave down to all the crowd.
It's not a bad idea, a very tiny passenger plane, because then at least she's got an excuse to be sat down in the seat, because she has to be.
Well, no, she'd be up on the wing, mate.
No, we couldn't. She's wing walking.
No, she's got to do something special. It's the there's no point in just having her in a plane going over.
Look at the G-force.
I mean, yeah, you might have to glue the crown on. So that might be pulled off in the wind and the breeze of being at high altitude. But I do, again, I think there's merit in it. I mean, maybe you could build like a Ferris wheel outside Buckingham Palace. So at least then she could be sat and she could just go around in a Ferris wheel. But I mean, that's just, there's nothing special about that particularly.
Well, it's never been done before. I quite admire your creative problem solving, at least.
Mm. Well, no, I'm just trying to come up with ideas so that she can play a full part in her own celebrations. It'd be a really sad thing if she couldn't be a part of it and acknowledge her people.
So what percentage sure are you that you're going to attend this thing?
Well, I might be working. I might have to work, so that might preclude me from going out. I don't even know what days the celebrations are, but I'm 50-50 at the moment. 50-50. If she's wing walking, I'm definitely there. Even a zip wire, I'm there. Even the Ferris wheel idea, I'm still... I'm 60-40.
I think even I might come down for the wing walk.
Yeah, put on a red arrow. Could she not? I mean, you know, well, William, he can fly a helicopter. Maybe he could fly the helicopter. Here's an idea, because then it's a family affair. There's more trust, perhaps. William can fly the helicopter, and she can be like on a winch. You know, like the sea rescues where they have to winch down. Yeah. She could be like in the winch, because that way she can be sat in the winch. She'd be very secure. And she could wave to the people, and she'd have the full trust that her grandson is in charge of the flying.
I mean, isn't there quite strict rules about two royals being on the same plane?
It's a jubilee. There's got to be some... All right, if we don't want... I mean, all right.
You want to make this jubilee jubilant?
Bring Harry back. He can do it. He can do the flying, because William's a direct heir, right? Harry's not going to... He's an heir, but he's not going to get there. Like, the throne is never going to be his. So if it went wrong, we can afford... we can afford that. Or just get a normal pilot to... All right, I'll forego the... I was just trying to make it... Or put... I tell you what, perfect solution. Prince Andrew... He's been told he's not going to be a part of the celebrations, but wasn't he in the... Can he fly a helicopter? So then, you know, no loss, really, should anything go badly wrong.
Well, except the Queen.
Well, she could have, like, an ejector thing and a parachute.
I thought you were trying to sort of nail her to the wing, though, so she couldn't go anywhere.
No, this is if she's being on a... If she's underneath the helicopter on a winch...
Oh, this is the winch idea. Sorry, yes. That would be mad otherwise, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, the Queen's Jubilee, we're all looking forward to it. It's going to be a wonderful event. And I mean, there's never been a Platinum Jubilee, Ben. That's the other thing. I mean, what a thing that is. There'll probably never be one again. Or it's going to be hundreds, thousands of years before that happens again, probably. So it's like an incredible thing in history. Like in hundreds of years' time, they'll still be talking about this, the Platinum Jubilee.
Well, I mean, I say it again. I mean, I could watch it from the comfort of my own living room on a nice TV with, you know, some commentary explaining some royal history. Yeah. You're going to be stuck in a crowd, able to see nothing, being herded around like cattle. It's going to be awful.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm still thinking about it anyway. But there are also going to be things you can do just to help celebrate in little ways. Did you see this week that Heinz are going to be launching a couple of special Jubilee condiments?
I did. I saw one about the salad cream, I think I saw.
Yes, they're going to rename HP sauce, HM sauce.
Lovely.
Now, HP sauce, what is HP sauce? That's the brown sauce, isn't
That's brown sauce, yes.
What is in that? Because you know I don't touch sauces. What is in HP sauce? What is it?
I'm not entirely sure.
You don't know, and yet you're happy to have it.
Yeah, well, that's kind of true. I don't know what's in salad cream either, but they both taste good to me. It's like a sort of quite a tangy brown sauce.
Yeah, I bet it's got Worcestershire sauce in.
Probably.
It's probably got that in it. Even though I don't like sauce, I have to say if I'm around someone, it's got an okay smell, the old HP, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's got sort of it's almost a vinegary, it's probably got vinegar in it. There's a vinegary smell. Anyway, that's being renamed HM sauce. And you're right, salad cream, they are renaming Salad Queen.
Very nice.
For the Jubilee. And now, you know, I've been suffering from insomnia recently.
Yeah.
So during my nights of lying there awake, I sometimes have to find things to try and do and fill my mind. So I came up with my own list of other products that could be renamed or used to help celebrate the event.
Oh, that's a good idea. Are they all sauce-based?
Not necessarily. I'll give you a couple. One's a very straightforward one. You know Fairy Liquids, the washing-up liquids?
Yes.
They already do a platinum, so they just rename that for a couple of weeks, the Fairy Platinum Jubilee. Just change the name. Very easy.
The Fairy Platinum Jubilee?
Yeah, it's just Fairy Platinum at the moment. Just add the word Jubilee on just for a few weeks as a special limited edition.
Just okay, I thought you'd have gone for Fairy Lizquid.
Well, that's not bad. I've got several others here. Because I've realised that the puns don't have to be that good.
No.
So I've gone for Toilet Royals.
Oh, that is a weak pun, Trev.
I mean, this was about 3 o'clock in the morning. Special beer for the occasion, Crownenberg.
Yes, I'm sure there is a Crown beer, though, isn't there?
Yes, but I mean, that's already done. There's a Crown paint. I mean, well, it's no point unless they're going to do something different. I mean,
fair enough.
I thought you could have. You could apply this to any pie, but I've just chosen pork pies. You could have special pies. Her royal pork pie-ness.
I mean, that might be quite offensive to her.
Okay. You can have beef chow rain.
Beef chow rain. Wow. You've put some thought into these.
You could have... I thought perhaps there'd be a few, because obviously in... I imagine she's called Mom quite a lot.
Yes.
Or Ma'am, whichever. So you could have, like, Ma'am flakes. Or marmalade is obviously a good one. Strawberry Ma'am.
Yes.
I'd imagine you probably want a more posher thing like quince ma'am instead of strawberry for that.
Possibly, yeah, yeah.
If you're a smoker and you roll your own, I thought you for a few weeks you could buy a Lizzlers. Could be an idea, couldn't it?
Yeah, I like these.
My last ones are all based around the Salad Queen idea, because obviously cream, you can use that on a lot of things. So I've got Custard Queens.
Right.
I've got Baked Queens. Got queen crackers.
Yeah.
And my final two, I think you could have either Whipped Queen or Squirty Queen.
I like the idea of a Squirty Queen.
Yeah. I'm sure that's a special category on Dominator.
Now, Trev, you always know that I enjoy finding little loopholes in life.
You do. You like a little loophole, don't you?
I do. And I've come across a great one this week, which I'm looking forward to running by you.
Go on.
And how about this? You'll never have to pay income tax ever again?
Well, it sounds good to me. I've just had my letter through the door about end of tax year self-assessment, so I've got to start thinking about that again.
You always tend to get absolutely walloped by that as well. I'm not exaggerating for comic effect either. You were once hit with a bill literally 10 times the size of mine. It was insane.
It was ridiculous. I think they just saw me coming and thought, well, we haven't clobbered him for a while. They got me on I still don't understand this. They got me on the national insurance thing. I had to pay, what was it, class 2 and class 4 contributions or something. I don't understand it. All I know is that it cost me a hell of a lot of money.
It seems like, though, every year you were asked to pay in advance for the next few months as well. So they chucked on a few more thousands onto your bill.
Well, I pay in advance. I pay for the year coming. So then there's a balance to pay when January comes. So I have to pay a balancing amount.
So when does that start paying off? Because you've just been continually walloped every year since I've met you.
Well, it does pay off sometimes, because if in a year you haven't earned as much as they have predicted, then you get a rebate. So sometimes that works in your favour. I mean, one year when I'd lost a lot of work, so nobody wanted to employ me. I'd lost most of it. And therefore my earnings were very low and I got $5,000 back.
Oh, that's handy.
Which was very handy, because I put that in a special account for tax purposes. So when I got clobbered, I was able to just about afford it.
Wow.
So anyway, Damn. So the tax, if I can get away without paying, I mean, I say I want to get away without paying any. I think you should pay your fair share of income tax. You know, that's how the country operates. I think it's fair. But if you can get away with it, why not? What's your loophole?
Well, they tax you at every stage in life. They even tax the money that you've already earned in your life. Hard work has earned you this money. You've paid tax on it.
Yeah.
And you want to have the good grace of just shuffling off the planet with dignity and passing this little few pounds on to your children and your loved ones. And they find a way of taxing that again.
Yes, of course.
So I'm not a big fan of paying your fair way. I don't think they give us a fair shake of the whip.
It's amazing that they tax you. I mean, it's not that they, you know, they're taxing the people that are inheriting, but it's still that you're taxing the person who's dead, really. It's incredible that even when you're dead, they say, well,
they won't leave you alone.
We need to take some money from them. They can't just allow them to die and not give us anything. But when you look at history, the amount of things, I mean, they used to tax people for having windows. I mean, unbelievable.
Well, that's a bit more old-fashioned, isn't it? But in our living memory, we had the spare room tax.
Yes, is that still a thing?
I think they've scrapped that, I think. But it's basically, if you dare to have a bit of spare space in the house, then they'll find a way to take even more money from you for the house that you might already paid for or are paying for. Don't get me started. I'm perfectly happy with taking a bit more tax back.
Right, okay. What's the loophole? Let's see if we can all embrace this idea. And you're saying that this is going to leave us owing nothing?
Yeah.
Okay.
It might fall down a little bit when we examine it a little bit closer.
Okay.
But for the initial explanation, it works.
Go on.
If you were to go on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, for example.
Right, yes.
And you won the million.
That's tax-free, right?
Exactly. It's prize money.
Yes.
It's winnings. So you would take home £1 million.
Yes.
So all you need to do is convince your employer, or become self-employed yourself.
Yes.
And get a gaming license. And be able to place bets. And then rather than have employees on the books in the sort of traditional sense, the employee bets you £1,000 a month that they'll show up to work. You accept that bet, they come to work, you pay them their winnings, and they pay zero tax.
Well, hang on, right? So you're saying that the company that employs you no longer employs you?
No, they not just in the traditional sense.
But you see, this is the problem you've got here.
Go on.
There's a flaw already in the system.
I did say it wasn't bulletproof.
Because I know from an experience somewhere I worked as a freelancer, they got very, very jumpy, the company, because the Inland Revenue were looking into... it's the whole argument about, are you an employee or not? And if you're turning up at a workplace every day, you're using their equipment every day, you are seen as an employee. So they would argue, I think, that you are still an employee of a business. So the business is they wouldn't get away with that.
What if you said I'm taking part in actively trying to win a bet?
You were turning up every day. I mean, the thing is, the company is still making money from the work that you are doing, right?
Yes, of course, yeah.
So therefore, you are working for them. So it's not like you are just turning up to win a bet. I don't see this working, Ben. I can see this falling down at the very first hurdle.
Well, the other problems I've seen in it, and I know it's sort of something that I'm bringing to the table, but the other problems I've seen is that I'm not sure how that would work with holiday pay.
We wouldn't get any. You wouldn't get any holiday pay. There'd be no benefits at all. You'd lose all of those benefits that come with being an employee. I mean, if you're self-employed, you don't get those anyway, so I wouldn't notice any difference. But if you're an employee, none of those benefits would be there for you. There'd be no pension. So what would you do in that sense?
Although the company could, I can't sort out the pension problem, but the company could afford to pay you a little bit more because they'd still be paying less than they would be otherwise. Is that right?
What?
Because they have to pay all sorts of taxes and things, don't they?
Yes.
Which they wouldn't have to pass on as a cost to you as much. I'm slightly losing the thread of my own argument here.
Yeah. I don't see this working at all.
I think it's a fun idea.
It's a fun idea. I mean, what I thought you were going to go with here is you give up work and you just go and compete on all the big game shows. And because once you've won a million, you're pretty much set for life. Then you can go on the smaller ones, 10 grand here, 20 grand there, a few hundred here, a few hundred there. Just make your money that way. That's all tax-free. So just become a professional game show contestant. But would that then be seen as a job?
There are people who do the game show circuit, for sure. But I think if
competition pigs, we used to call them on the radio.
Oh, really?
People that phone up and take part in all competitions.
No, I didn't know of it being a profession, but I think it's a good way to win a lot of free stuff. But if everyone in the country quit their job, then that would get pretty clogged up, the game show scene, wouldn't it?
No, you've also got to be sure that you're going to win that money. If you give up your work to go and compete and you walk away from each game show, we'll have a lovely day. I really have, because that would become so, like, every game show contestant leaves the game show saying, well, I came with nothing, I'm leaving with nothing. If that becomes your be all end all, and Bradley Walsh says to you, well, I hope you had a lovely day, go, no, I haven't. No. this is how I'm feeding my kids, you know. And I come on here, and there's old Anne Hegarty, the governess up there, taking food out of my children's mouths, Bradley.
It'd make a lot more jeopardy to some of the games, especially the final chase. If it comes down to feeding your kids or not, or turning the heating on.
But also, you'd have to take you'd have to always go for the larger offer as well. If you're on those to win the big money, you're going to have to take the larger offer. So there's so much jeopardy involved.
Yeah, and I did like this idea when I first discovered it, but thinking about it as well, I don't even know how much it would cost companies to obtain a gambling license or a...
Yeah.
So, that might be another. I don't imagine that's very cheap.
I think it's a more. There's more validity to the idea if you're doing something as a sole trader, as it were. I think if you were getting a business involved and they've got to change their status to a gaming organization or whatever, I don't see that's got any legs. I think if you're on your own and your whole way of living is to make money by winning it. I mean, professional poker players, do they have to pay tax on their winnings on that?
No, I'm imagining winnings.
So they've won on... So if you were a professional poker player, essentially, does that mean you don't pay any tax? I can't believe that the governments haven't cracked down on that. Because there's a lot of money in that. People become millionaires. There must be a way that they say, no, that's because you are professional. That's therefore your job. So although it would be seen as winnings, they're actually your earnings. Like snooker players, sports people, when they win prize money at events, that must be taxed because that's their earnings.
That's interesting. Oh, I don't know about that, actually. That's a very good point.
Because I can't imagine that sports people, darts players, snooker players, who can earn a lot of money. I mean, I think Phil Taylor became... multi-millionaire through darts. There's a lot of money that they're not going to be allowed to just get away with. Well, I want it.
The logic stands up that they should be able to, because why is it that someone...
I think it's because it must be their job. But see, because it's their job.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't just get some punter who's all right at darts winning the big darts competitions. It takes a lot of skill and practice. Like, I imagine having the knowledge to win Who Wants to Be a Millionaire takes a lot of skill and practice.
Yes.
So I don't see why one should be punished just because someone's labelled them professional.
Yeah, but I mean, it takes a lot of time and effort to learn how to become a brain surgeon. Just because you're putting in a lot of time and effort to become good at something doesn't mean that that should preclude you from taxation.
It's the word win. I agree with you on that. But it's the word win that, okay, that I think sorts it out for you.
Well, I reckon if you're a brain surgeon and the patient survives, that's a win. You get a bonus for that.
See, now you're sounding like you want to sort of argue the loophole of my argument against me to make everyone winners. This is a great idea.
Talking of loopholes, Ben.
Oh, yes.
Let me run this one by you.
Go ahead.
So a woman has married her pet cat to... I mean, already there's questions there who's... I mean, they can't surely be legally married, but maybe they are, because a woman's married her pet cat to prevent future landlords from separating them.
Right, okay.
Deborah Hodge claimed that she'd previously been forced to rehome three animals by landlords who didn't allow pets in their properties. So to keep hold of her current cat, five-year-old India, she held a civil ceremony to tie the knot. She got all dressed up for it. Apparently the cat wore a bow tie and cape for the ceremony, which was conducted by a friend who is legally ordained. Now, again, I don't know whether you can legally... Like, is there a civil partnership for you and a cat? I don't know if that's a thing.
I've never looked into it before, funny enough.
But she's... So there's a loophole. So if the landlord turns up and says, oh, I'm really sorry, you know, the rules are no pets, you're going to have to rehome the cat. And she says, well, actually, this is my life partner.
I'll tell you why it won't work.
Go on.
I admire her moxie, but I'll tell you why it won't work.
Yeah.
It's because there are certain things you can say no to people for on certain grounds. And pets is a bit of a strange one, and you could be done for discrimination. So you could say, oh, it's a service animal. A lot of people have got pets during the pandemic, and people have moved into smaller flats and houses, and so the pets need to come with them.
Yes.
So
yes.
To say no would be a form of discrimination. Now, if you really don't want an animal in your property that you're the landlord of, here's what I'm saying. You can basically turn anyone away.
Yeah.
Or prefer someone else without stating a reason why you've declined the person. So you can completely discriminate so long as you don't say it out loud.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. But what if the woman's already in the flat?
Well, how has that happened? How has someone signed the papers, moved into your property without you noticing?
No, well, they didn't have a cat at the time. They then got a cat. And she's already had to rehome other cats in other properties with other landlords, perhaps. And then she's gone, I'm marrying this one. So you're with me for life, India.
Well, that would be, I suppose, a good lesson to to landlords to double check that they get to interview both of the tenants or everyone who's going to be on the tenancy agreement.
You're going to interview the cat.
Mind you, you wouldn't expect someone to hoodwink you with a fake cat marriage. So again, I don't know how easy it'd be to turf her out once she's in.
I think once she's in and she's married, my concern is the legality of the marriage. I mean, it doesn't matter that the friend who conducted the service is legally ordained. How's the cat? I mean, I don't know how it works, but I'm assuming there's some paperwork that has to be signed when you marry. How's the cat? Is it paw print? Is that legally binding? I don't know how that works.
Also, I'm not sure there'd be many, if you took it through, if you were hoodwinked and you didn't do your due process and you got caught out by someone, let's just say a bit odd, moving in with a cat that they've married.
Yeah.
I'm not sure once you get them in court, there'd be many judges or magistrates who would think, you know what, that's completely reasonable. It's a more fool the landlord for not thinking this woman was coming with her husband/cat.
I tell you what, that's a court case I would watch on telly, though, isn't it?
From one very strange story to another, Trev, There is a man who has been trying to wriggle out of a parking ticket he's been given.
Right.
And the offence he was alleged to have committed was that he left this car in a disabled bay. And
he didn't have the requisite blue badge?
He did not. No, this was in Lewisham in London. Mm. And he was walloped with a £65 fine. And unless he pays it quickly, it'll double up to £130.
Right, okay. Well, if he's not got the blue badge, what argument is he putting forward?
Well, this is his initial downfall. He's refused to pay it because he believes he's in the right. He simply didn't park there. Although he failed to explain to them what his protest was and why he's not paying it, but he's basically now waiting for his day in court or hoping that this all gets resolved. We're waiting to see the end result of this. I'm hoping it doesn't waste everyone's time going to court. But basically what's happened is some absolute burk of a traffic warden has taken a photo showing that this man is clearly not parked within a disabled bay.
Right.
But the shadow of his car is ever so slightly creeping over the paint.
The shadow?
Yeah.
Oh, this is ridiculous. Like, that's not a thing.
So I don't know if he deliberately didn't bother explaining to them why, or if he's just sort of leaving them to work it out for themselves. Like, I'm not going to dignify this with a response.
Well, that would be amazing, though. Take them to court and then put their picture up, because no judge, the same judge that has thrown out the cat in court, is going to be there going, well, you can't claim a shadow is a vehicle parked in a bay. You can't claim that. So off your pop, Mr. Yeah. Traffic Warden.
Also, who are you punishing, him or the shadow? Because at different times of the day, that shadow's going to be in and out of that bay.
Well, no, that's the thing. So now, if you're going to park, you've got to start thinking about blocking out the sun. You've got to go, well, there's got to be a whole thing about parking. Now, if you're going to park anywhere near a yellow line, because presumably this counts for any kind of area where parking is prohibited or restricted, that, you know, you've got to make sure there's no shadow on it. So you might have to start putting up screens. I mean, it's the whole new faff that I've not considered when I park.
Yeah. So who's committed the offence? The car, the shadow, or the sun?
I'd sue the sun. That's where I'd start. Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, I've got a couple of recommendations for you this week, Ben.
What have we got?
First of all, I watched The Power of the Dog. This is that film with Benedict Cumberbatch on Netflix. I don't know if it won the Oscars in the end, but it was nominated for loads. I think It might have won some stuff at the Oscars. It's a bit of a slow burner, and I must admit, about halfway through, I was thinking, oh, just get on with it. But the last hour is very, very good. But you've got to sort of get through the first hour for the story to really start taking off. But old Benedict Cumberbatch is very, very good in it.
Good stuff.
Did he win the Oscar? I don't think he won the Oscar, did he? But he was nominated for it.
I didn't pay much attention to the Oscars.
No, neither did I. Because apart from Will Smith smacking Chris Rock in the face, I couldn't care less about him, to be honest.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's well worth a watch. And the other thing is this new TV drama. I watched the pilot last year, because I watched the first episode the other week and thought, I've seen this. But they were saying, oh, it's a whole new thing. It's called Grace. It's another detective thing on ITV on I think it's on a Sunday night. And it's very good. It's got John Sim, who plays the detective, Grace. I'm really enjoying it because I like detective. You know, I like a detective thing.
You love a detective show.
I love a detective show. And this is up there. It's a very good one. So there's my couple of recommendations this week. Just before we round up this week, Ben, I just want to tell you one thing I saw this week that I just thought fashion's gone a bit of a step too far here.
What's this? What have you seen?
And it made me think that this is why I don't go out much. Because if I go out these days, because I'm quite reclusive these days, when I go out, the world seems a much weirder place than it used to be. So I was at Balham Station, and my train came in. I got on the train. And as the train pulled out, and as the platform was disappearing as I was going, there was a man on his push bike on the platform. But he had his trousers right down.
Right down?
Right down. So his whole backside was on show as the train went past. Now, I know over the years, certainly amongst the youth, the trouser has dropped. You know, there's been a dropping of the trouser over the years. And if this is a new fashion that has come about in the last couple of years when I've become more reclusive, we've got to stop this. I don't need to see it. I don't want to see it. This was at night. This was about 11 o'clock at night. It was quite chilly. He must have known that his whole backside was on show.
And he wasn't like fleeing from someone. His trousers fell down, he found a bike.
He was just standing still on his bike on the platform. So either he's an exhibitionist. Well, someone needs to have a word. There's enough people on that platform that would have been seeing that. I didn't see it until I was on the train and passing it. There must have been enough people on the platform to say, mate, you know, put them up. Or he must have felt the chill. Or it's a new fashion thing. But it worried me, Ben. Whichever the answer was, it concerned me that this is the world we're now in.
It raises a sort of a crisis as well, doesn't it? Because that's probably not on doing
No, it's
that.
Not
but,
on.
But
it's not
the trousers, on. The trousers around the sort of bum area has been a trend for a while. It does tend to be on the sink, these trousers.
Yeah, so, they've been going down for years. I mean,
so at what point does the trouser have to go to before it becomes a police matter?
I would suggest that was a police matter. I think there's a level of sinkage, as you quite rightly say. I mean, look, we've all suffered from builder's bum. Every now and again, that can happen. But that's generally just the very tip of the crack.
Tip of the iceberg.
The very tip of the iceberg is there. I think anything, as you go, I would say anything more than the third down is beyond the pale. I mean, I would prefer it all to be covered all the time if I have my way. But I accept that we all have moments where there's a moment of builder's bum. It's just part of being a human being. But if you're actively making that decision, then something wrong in the world.
Yes. Did he? And he looked normal enough? Like he didn't look like he'd lost the plot or anything?
To be honest, I wasn't looking at his face, Ben. I mean, I did think at least he could park his bike nicely if he needed to. So there we are. That's it. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. Ratchet and Ben on Twitter. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.